Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MB Om podcast. I'm Amanda and I'll be your host for today. And today I've got a bit of a unique episode for you. I'm playing around with the idea of doing a solo episode every fourth Monday of the month, just to spice things up, switch things up a little bit. So this is going to be the first solo episode that I'm doing. And this idea sort of stemmed from writing quite a few blog posts for the MB Om blog at www.mbomyoga.com and then /blog. And kind of delving into these sort of deeper ideas of yoga, I guess, and then wanting to sort of talk about them. And I'm really curious about listeners' opinions. I'd really love for people to send me emails about what you think about these topics, your ideas, that sort of thing. So if anything sort of spikes interest within you, you can send me an email at info@mbomyoga.com. And so the topic that I want to talk about today is, what does it mean to be good at yoga? And this is something that recently came up in my life. I have a business coach who helps me with the travel podcast that my boyfriend and I co-host, as well as everything having to do with MB Om, the book that I've been trying to write for 2 years, my e-course on Udemy. So he's basically just there to guide me along on this trail of entrepreneurship that I've set myself out on. And he asked me the other day how good at yoga I was. And I've never been asked that by anyone, I don't think. And so I kind of stopped and thought to myself, and the thoughts that immediately went through my head were thinking about all of the really cool yogis and yoginis that I follow on Instagram, and thinking about all these crazy complicated advanced postures or asanas that I'm unable to do. I mean, even my handstand is shaky in the middle of a room. It's not strong. It's not photographic at this point. And so I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'm like pretty in the middle. Like, I'm probably a stronger practitioner than the average person because I practice so much and because I teach. But I mean, I'm not amazing. You know, like full lotus doesn't often happen for me. And, you know, getting both my hips down in a pigeon pose is quite difficult for me. And full splits hasn't happened since I danced in my high school years, which was almost 10 years ago. And so I was like, oh, I guess I'm like kind of, you know, in the middle, like maybe like a 6 out of 10 type thing. And he was like, okay. And didn't really say much more about it. And I don't know that I was left feeling like bad about myself, but I was kind of a bit like, oh, okay, I guess, like, you know, I'm not in the bottom echelon of yoga practitioners, but I'm also, you know, the very bottom is probably people who don't even practice yoga. And I practice every day, so maybe I should be better. And kind of coming into this sort of pattern in my head of like, oh, maybe I should be able to do these things. And maybe I should be better at yoga if I'm going to try and create a yoga podcast or be a yoga teacher and that sort of thing. And then I started thinking back to when I returned from Bali last year. And this time last year, I was in Bali, probably about halfway through my teacher training program. And I returned May 11th, and my boyfriend and I just did a travel podcast episode. It's called The World Wanders, and it's on what it's like to come home from a big trip. And we talked about these two solo adventures that we took last year, mine being my yoga teacher training to Bali, and how it felt so strange to go away for 1 month and to come back to the exact same situation. So I came back to the same job, the same house, the same boyfriend, obviously. The same town, and nothing had really changed while I was away, but I had this massive change take place in my life where essentially I gained this new career path, I guess, or I obtained the certificate that I'd been dreaming about for so long. And yes, things about my practice definitely strengthened while I was away, but I mean, I didn't come back being significantly better at yoga. I just came back being able to teach yoga. And it felt really strange to go through that process and to come back and be like, I guess I'm a yoga teacher. I guess I've got the certificate that says I can teach yoga now. And it's this very strange feeling of coming back to somewhere that nothing has changed and you've gone through this massive change. And so I returned home and I lived in this really cool mountain town where there's a lot of really good yoga teachers. And I felt really scared to put myself out there as a teacher. And a lot of it was around this idea that I wasn't good enough. And it came from seeing people do one-handed handstands and scorpion pose and jump throughs and crazy transitions like crow to side crow, back to crow, to the other side, to titibhasana. And I was like, I can't do this stuff. Like I must not be able to teach. And I think that this is something that other people struggle with as well. And I'm really curious to hear if this is something that you've struggled with. So like I said, please reach out to me on my contact page or send me an email, because it's always nice to hear that you're not alone in something that you're feeling. And so I taught a little bit on and off when I first returned. I worked for Lululemon at the time, so that was a huge opportunity to be able to teach for their complimentary yoga program. And I taught some other sort of free yoga programs in town, and I was able to do a karma class for one of the local studios and just kind of like dip my fingers in it, get my feet a little bit wet. And I slowly started working through this. Okay, it doesn't matter where my physical practice is at, because when I show up to teach, my teaching isn't about my physical practice. And yes, there's poses that I can't necessarily do, but you know, I can teach the sort of preparatory aspects of these to people, and maybe somebody goes further than I can, and that's fine too. It doesn't mean you're a bad teacher because somebody in your class can do something better than you. And it's something that I wrote about in my ebook that's, if you sign up for my newsletter, you get for free. It's 10 steps for kickstarting your yoga career. It's called So You've Got Your Yoga Teacher Training, What's Next? And I talk about this idea of how you're good enough, even if you can't do things, even if you can't do everything that your students can do. And it's this concept of people are always going to be better. There's always going to be somebody better at something that you're doing. There's always going to be a better writer. There's always going to be a better teacher. There's always going to be a better practitioner, somebody who's more flexible. And that goes for basically anything you're doing, whether it's yoga or hockey or writing or philosophy or race car driving, whatever it is, there's always going to be somebody who comes along who's faster, who's better. And to put yourself in that sort of competitive mode, like I need to be better than this person to be successful, is, I think it's really toxic. And especially in this yoga industry where, you know, yoga teachers preach a lot of like self-love and self-acceptance and compassion for yourself. Like, is that happening on the teacher side? And how authentic is it if you're teaching that without practicing it? And that's something that I really connected with as I began my teacher journey, is that when I showed up pretending like I knew everything, you know, people don't really resonate with that. When I showed up and I was like real about not knowing a Sanskrit word or teaching the preparatory stuff for a pose and saying, you know, I actually can't go into the full pose, but this is, you know, what you're going to do to get there. I think people really, really resonate with that. It sort of humanizes you as a person. And it's something that I've talked about on this podcast before with making mistakes. Like if you mix up the word hand and foot, which, you know, has happened to all of us yoga teachers time and time again, it's not a huge deal. It's just owning your mistake and moving on and recognizing that you're never going to be perfect. just like your students are never going to be perfect. And when you hold space to make a mistake, you hold space for them to make a mistake, which I think opens the door for so many possibilities in your class. So to tie this back to what does it mean to be good at yoga? I remember last year sort of grappling with this concept of how good I needed to be at yoga to teach. And I know it's definitely something that crossed my mind when I returned from my teacher training. And it's definitely something that I felt like I'm not good enough at yoga to be able to teach this concept. And so I want to come back to what does it actually mean to be good at yoga? And Aaron Evans, who I had on the podcast, posted a really interesting post on Instagram the other day where she's got a really, really advanced asana practice. She posted a pretty complicated asana, maybe a chin stand or something else that's pretty challenging. And she wrote in the caption, "When I was younger, I got bullied for, quote unquote, showing off on the playground," because she was a gymnast growing up. She was like, "I decided not to show off anymore." So she's like, "I didn't do the things that I was able to do or the things I was good at." She's like, "Then I realized that that's the way of me expressing myself and showing my growth and my struggles and the things that I'm going through." And she ended it with saying, "If you think that this is showing off, you've missed the point." And that really resonated with me because I follow a lot of people on a lot of yogis or yoga teachers on Instagram who are really good at yoga. And sometimes it feels like, you know, is that all you do is handstands all the time? Like, we get it. You can handstand. Like, we get it. You can, you know, stick your leg over your head. Like, just, you know, stop showing off. But what Aaron said is, you know, I'm not showing off. This is just where my practice is at. And so that's something that I kind of thought about with this topic of what does it mean to be good at yoga? And I think that instead of, you know, rating ourselves or comparing ourselves to other people, maybe it's just that being good at yoga can be defined differently by every single person. And Aaron's practice is significantly stronger than my practice. So her good at yoga in a certain day is probably defined much differently than mine is. And I think that that's okay. It's something that I've really sort of considered with the trending Instagram world, which seems to be more and more towards doing fancy poses and that sort of thing. And I have an Instagram account that's, you know, both travel and yoga related. And I find that I get a lot more fulfillment out of just posting, you know, basic poses in a really beautiful setting. And maybe that's partly because I can't handstand up onto a cool bridge and then go into Lotus and then go into the splits. Like, it just is not in my practice. So maybe that's why I don't have any interest in that, I guess, because I actually couldn't even do it if I wanted to. I mean, obviously, if I set a goal, I probably could, but that's another topic. And so I was just thinking about how when my business coach asked me how good I was at yoga, and I answered him with sort of a 6 out of 10. Like, I'm not bad, but I'm not like amazing. And then I came back to this idea and I reconsidered it. And I was like, what does it actually mean to be good at yoga? Because I think for me, it's not really how long I can hold a handstand. That's one aspect of yoga. But for me, being good at yoga is showing up on my mat every single day. And that's whether or not I'm tired or I have a lot of energy or something is happening in my life or I'm so busy, it's hard to function. And it's just showing up and seeing what's going on in my mind. It's that moment where I close my eyes and I tune into my body and I begin to feel what's tight, what's tense, what's alive within me. It's that moment where I notice my breath. And I find the more that I practice yoga, the more I notice my breath outside of my actual practice on my mat. It's that moment when I'm in rush hour traffic and I feel my shoulders creep up towards my ears and my back get tense. And I realize that I'm holding my breath and I just let it out. And to me, that's being good at yoga, when you can take what happens on the mat and you can apply it to your everyday life. Like my boyfriend and I were in Charleston, South Carolina this past weekend, and our Airbnb host had told us that we could park in the apartment parking lot. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. Ryan seemed like a little bit more stressed about it than I did. And I was just like, whatever, it's fine. She said, it's fine. Very trusting of me. And then before we left the next morning, after our first night there, we asked to get a pass. And so she wrote in marker on a piece of paper, like we didn't even have an official pass. Anyways, we take that down to put it in my like dashboard window, and my card's got the boot, which is something that doesn't happen in Canada. And I've heard about being in the US, and I've been very diligent about paying for parking everywhere I go while traveling in the United States to ensure that I haven't got the boot. So anyways, I got the boot for the first time, and immediately I was just like, what the hell? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, she said we'd be fine. And I felt myself getting upset, and then I was like, whoa, like the boot's on your car, call the person, you know, they're going to show up. They're going to take off the boot. We'll figure out the money situation with the Airbnb. Like, it's no big deal. So I called them. He's like, yeah, 20, 25 minutes. I was like, okay, that kind of sucks. Like, we wanted to go to the farmer's market. I was getting kind of hungry. And I was like, just take a breath. It doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do about it. And then I just sat down and, you know, took a photo of it, posted it with the struggle is real, and just sort of like let it go, you know, like just not like let it fully go, but let it go in the sense of I stopped being angry about it and I stopped trying to change what the reality of my situation was. And to me, that's yoga working itself in my everyday life. And when you show up on your mat consistently and you just let whatever needs to happen, happen, I feel like it slowly seeps in to day-to-day life. And to me, that's huge. A couple years ago, I practiced yoga and I never experienced any of this off the mat patience or acceptance or deep breathing or moments of clarity and calmness. And so that's a really sort of big deal for me. And that's something that I'm really proud of. And I think that when I look at something like that, to me, that's being good at yoga. Something else I think about is showing up on your mat and doing the physical postures is one thing. Showing up on your mat and really engaging into your breath and bringing awareness to your mind, that's a whole nother ball game. I think that that is the difference between somebody who practices sort of irregularly and has only practiced for a couple of years versus somebody who practices consistently and has practiced for a few more years. And it's something that I've slowly started to find in my practice over the last year or two, is that I realize so much more that breath is important. So it's not about being the first person to get in the pose or to be the strongest in it or to hold it the longest, which is exactly what it used to be for me. It's about moving with my breath. So it's okay, I've exhaled all the way, I need to inhale. Now I'm exhaling to move into the pose. And maybe it's slower, maybe it's more methodical, but to me, that's being a little bit better at yoga. It comes back around to this, though. I find it really hard to even put that categorically onto yoga. You know, is it maybe just that being good at yoga is just showing up for yoga? So every single person who shows up for yoga in a single day is good at yoga, and they're equally good in their own way. And I think that that's also a possibility. I think that the way society is we're so used to categorizing and sorting and, I mean, judging and labeling and all these things, we just do it habitually. So maybe being good at yoga is simply just showing up. It doesn't matter how good your breath is or your physical practice or what happens in your mind. Maybe if you're frustrated the entire time, it's just that you showed up and that's great. So that's something else that I'm kind of grappling with. And if you're listening to this and being like, why doesn't she just make up her mind about what being good at yoga is? The point of sort of these episodes is to really dig into these things that aren't black and white and kind of talk about the gray area and talk about these things that are very opinion based and are very different for everyone. And that's why I'm really curious what other people sort of think of this topic. Because it is, I mean, it would be very bold of me to say being good at yoga is being able to do pose X, Y, Z. And to be very honest, I don't really think that how good you are at yoga is how good your physical practice is. And I sort of feel like when you show up on your mat and you let whatever happen in your body and your mind that needs to happen in that moment, even if it's sitting in child's pose crying the entire time, eventually your physical practice will grow and mature. And the more you show up, the stronger your physical body gets, which is where that comes from. And the more you focus on your breath, the more you're able to sort of control those physical movements in a way that allows you to do things that are a little bit harder. The things that you see in photos where you're like, whoa, are they levitating? I've seen those photos and it's crazy. I guess that goes back to the idea of then if somebody's, you know, mastered the breath and the mind so much where they can do those things, maybe it is about the physical asana. So it's kind of this big topic and I don't really know if there's a right answer or what the right answer is. The thing that I've sort of come to is that as a practitioner and as a teacher, if I'm going to put a label or a judgment on myself to say, you know, like I said to my business coach, I think I'm about like a, you know, a 5, 6 out of 10. I don't know if that's a good way for me to feel good about my practice because, you know, I show up on my mat every day and I think that that makes me good at yoga. I think that yoga for me is a lot about having peace and calm and self-acceptance because those are things that I struggled with before I practiced yoga regularly. More so than being able to do cool things physically, yoga is the mental gains that I see in my day-to-day life. Those things that I was talking about before with the boot on my car or not being as frustrated in traffic. And there are things that I notice things just in myself. And obviously I'm not perfect. I still have moments of anger, frustration, and my boyfriend's a very grounded person. And sometimes he's like, Amanda, just breathe, like let it go. So I'm by no means perfect, but I just think about myself a few years ago. For example, I went to Wanderlust 108 today and I went and got myself a kombucha and it was $5 for an on tap kombucha. And one of the yoga teachers here in town was sort of like rushing around the mats and she stepped on my cup and because it was plastic, it just went everywhere. And she just felt terrible about it. Like she's like, I'm so sorry. I'll get you a new one. And I think that's something that I like legitimately would have been frustrated with a couple years ago. Like, why are you rushing around? Why aren't you paying attention to where you're walking? Like, that's really like rude that you stepped on that sort of stuff. And none of those thoughts even like entered my head. Like I was just like, it's fine. Like it's a cup of liquid. It's not a big deal. The money's immaterial. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I'll get you new one. I was like, seriously, like don't sweat it. It doesn't matter. And I think that in the past, that's something I would have said, but I would have felt kind of frustrated by it or I would have felt resentful or been like, oh, that sucks. And I noticed myself just being like, it's fine. Like just having this non-attachment to this cup of kombucha. Like, yes, I would have liked to drink it, but does it really matter? No. And to me, I think that that's being good at yoga when you can bring your yoga into your real life, when you can see genuine positive benefits of your yoga practice. And I think that is more so what being good at yoga is for me than being able to do a bunch of really cool postures. Although being able to do cool postures is awesome too. And I'm totally going to counter this. And, you know, some people's practice is so much more about that. And that's what they put the emphasis on. And I think that that's okay as well. So I think if you're out there and you're maybe a new teacher and you've just come out of your teacher training and you're like, I'm not good enough to teach, maybe reconsider what you think being good at yoga means. I think that's a really good place to start. Consider what your yoga practice is like. I think that having a personal practice, whether or not it's showing up on your mat or going to other people's classes, is extremely important. And I really loved in my conversation with Lydia Zamorano, she talked about finding your own truth. So it's good to go to other people's classes to learn, but always not just taking everything they say at face value, really finding your own truth. So not just hearing somebody say something and repeat it in your class. See if it feels right in your body and then maybe teach it. And I was like, wow, I love this. She's just an amazing teacher. And she also has a really strong asana practice. And I think it's people like Erin Evans and Lydia Zamorano that I see and I'm like, your physical practice is so much better than mine, and you're such strong teachers. And knowing that where they're at is so much, you know, further ahead than I am, that's another thing to remember, is that if you're feeling not good enough, I mean, meet yourself where you are. You can't come out of a teacher training and expect to just be as good as somebody who's been practicing or teaching for, you know, 10 to 20 years. It's not a realistic expectation of yourself. And I think keep in mind where you're, how long you've been practicing for and how consistently you've been practicing for, because consistency is really key. I mean, you could be practicing for 10 years, but if you've only practiced once a week, somebody who's practiced for only 3 years is probably going to have a stronger practice than you. And so just keep those types of things in mind. Try not to get too much into your own head. Try not to get too much into the social media world, and see if you can really just dig deep and see what you define as being good at yoga. Reconsider it if you're not defining yourself as being good at yoga. Because I think that if you show up on your mat, you're good at yoga and you're good enough to teach yoga, as long as you're coming from a place of authenticity. And so I'm going to leave the podcast there. I think that I've kind of went around in a couple of circles with that, digging into sort of a gray area is always a little bit difficult. But like I said before, I'd really love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, or if this is something you'd love to talk about with me, would love to hear your opinion. So send me an email at info@mbomyoga.com. If you are interested in that free ebook, it's called So You've Got Your Yoga Teacher Training, What's Next? You can sign up for the newsletter at www.mbomyoga.com. Just click on the newsletter tab and you'll get a free copy of that in your inbox. Signing up for the newsletter gets you early updates on episodes, cool links from other yoga teachers, and anything that's sort of inspiring me in that moment. So definitely check that out. If you want to join the community on Facebook, it's www.facebook.com/masteringthebusinessofyoga. And if you just search MBOM Yoga, it should pop up for you. And as always, thanks so much for listening and being a part of the awesome MBOM community. Namaste.